We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Where is this found? Give everyone in. So from Declaration of Independence of United States of America, we find this. Unalienable rights, that among these are life. Talk about life. Everybody likes to have a good life. Everyone wants to live a good life. Every country has in their constitution, some way or the other, it is referred to this good life. What is this? When we were in California, in San Jose, there is a museum. It is an Egyptian museum. Whenever people come from India, I used to take them to that place, Egyptian museum. There is a process called mummification. How many of you knows Egyptian mummies, right? There is a mummification. That word itself is very interesting. So the process of how the dead bodies go through that process or get into a, become a mummy. So it's a process of mummification. And it's very costly process. Only 8% of Egyptians can get it in those days. That was the statistics. So like that, everyone wants to live a good life, even a better afterlife. So recently I heard one proposal from India to Bill Gates and Warren Buffett about life, living a good life, even having afterlife, good afterlife. Since Hindus believe reincarnation, that we can born either as an animal or as another person, the proposal is to Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, if they have 50 million, please share 50% of your property or 25 million. We will find you where you will be born in the coming life. And we can route that money to you. See, speak of life. Everyone wants to live a better life, a greater life, even afterlife. So this evening we are going to speak, or we are going to look into, what is the life in Christ? Life in Christ. What is it about? So from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Life in Christ. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now, you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Life in Christ. So from these 11 verses, this is what we can learn. A Christian's life is hidden in Christ. It is hidden in Christ. So they must seek the things that are above and put to death the things that are earthly. I repeat, a Christian's life is hidden in Christ. So they must seek the things that are above and put to death the things that are earthly. So if you see these verses, we are telling from these first four verses, a Christian's life is hidden in Christ. Hidden. So what do you think about when we say hidden? So it is secret, it is hiding, and it is concealed. It is not easy to see what is hidden. Here we see a Christian's life is hidden in Christ. Speaking of life, when a person becomes a Christian, his life is hidden in Christ. So this is a very interesting verse, the hidden. The Greek verse is krypto. It's a very Greek, Roman, it's a Eastern type of word, hidden. I remember one interesting story when I was in elementary school. There is a king. King has his daughter. She's beautiful. And there is another person who is a bad guy. He goes and takes away that king's daughter, princess. And here comes a person who is a redeemer, who has to find that prince. And he finds the person, the sorcerer or the bad guy. His life is hidden in a small parrot. Okay. In a parrot, his life is hidden. And that is kept 7 mountains. You have to cross 7 mountains. And you have to cross 7 oceans. You have to go there and get that parrot bird. So he goes there, he finds that bird, and he comes back. And that's how he becomes a victor over that sorcerer. So he finds that how I can handle his life. He tries so many ways, so many tricks, so many ways, but somehow he finds through another sorcerer that his life is hidden somewhere. So when we hear those stories, okay, and when I read this verse here, our life is hidden with Christ. Okay. People at that time, they were able to understand what Paul was mentioning. Their life, the entire life, it was hidden in Christ. So if you see here, a Christian's life is hidden in Christ. See the verse 1. How our lives are hidden in Christ. It is not by taking out our lives and storing in some place, but the biblical view of our life, biblical view of human's life, how it can be hidden in Christ. So from these verses 1 to 11, as we see the life in Christ, how a person's life can be hidden in Christ. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. First thing is, it talks about if you are raised with Christ. How our lives can be hidden in Christ is, our lives must be risen lives. Our lives must be risen. What is the meaning of risen? Early morning, getting up, waking up, getting into the day-to-day activities. But here we see, if you have been risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died. So death and resurrection. These are the two aspects Paul is mentioning in the book of Colossians. Death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. If you want to have a life in Christ, what we have to go through is, we must die and we must rise. How is it possible? What is the meaning of we must die and we must rise? Look at the verse in the previous chapter, chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." So these are the two very important words as Christians we need to understand. To die and to rise. Without those things, we cannot go further into that chapter. The condition is, if then you have been raised with Christ, how can we be risen without the state of death? First thing is, we have to die and then we have to rise. Look at this verse, verse 13 once again here. "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, made alive." What is this death? So we need to understand biblical language to really apply to our lives. The language is very important, the comparisons. This is a very foundational and fundamental teaching of the scriptures. You were dead in sins and trespasses, and you are made alive. You were dead in sins and trespasses and you are made alive. But here we see there is another death. There is another death. And if you look at the Paul's epistles, all these epistles, this death and life. Death and life. We need to get a hold of this. We need to understand what is the meaning of dying and what is the meaning of living. So this verse we have read, you are dead in sins and trespasses. So that is one death. But the death that he is talking in the chapter 1 is, you are raised with Christ. There is another death he is talking about. So I hope you are getting that. See, before when we accepted the Lord, we were dead in sins and trespasses. Okay. And when a person comes to know the Lord, he is alive. He becomes alive. He gets alive. Okay. And there is another aspect of death. There is another aspect of death Paul talks about. In Romans chapter 6, let's turn there. What is that death? Let's talk about so chapter 6 verse 1 onwards says, "What shall we say then? are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin? Look at this death. Our earlier state was we were dead in sins and trespasses, and we were alienated from God, we were away from God. But once we come to know God, there is another aspect of death. That death is died to sin. Died to sin. Who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So we are baptized into his death. We are identifying, we are completely submerging into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That is the resurrected life. See, these two are very important for our Christian lives. Very, very important. These are like, without this, you cannot go further in Colossians chapter 3. The condition is, if then you were raised, how can we raise unless we are dead? Dead to sin, dead to law. We are crucified with Christ. That's what Paul mentions in Galatians. And because of that crucifixion, we see, as we are seeing in Romans 6, we too might walk in newness of life. Okay. Continuation of that Romans 6. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. So the concept of death is very, very important biblical teaching, understanding. We are died. Death. Verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So before resurrection, we have to go through the process of death. How can we find life in Christ? He is going through that death and resurrected with Christ. So while we are in this context, I will read another verse, very important verse from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. This is the prayer of Paul for Ephesians. The prayer is, the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Paul writing to Colossians, coming back to Colossians. The condition is, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. When we have to seek the things? When we have gone through this process. When we are dead and risen with Christ. See, many times our problem is we seek these things without going through that process. We try to seek these things without going through that process and we face miserable failures. A Christian's life is hidden in Christ, so they must seek. Because our life is hidden in Christ, that's the reason we seek. And we see here the word seek, the things that are above. What is the meaning of seeking? Seeking is searching for, making efforts, striving, to seek by inquiring. We seek out. Suppose if you want to go for one place to another place, what do you seek? You seek the maps. You enter the destination. How to go, where to go, which turn to take. And if you're going to any other place, or if you're in a project, if it is a construction or you want to buy something, what do? You seek. Or in other words, you Google it out, right? You find it out. What is that? You get the data. And here it says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. It's a very personal and our effort. We seek out the things. We have to give the best shot. Getting to the bottom of a matter. That's the meaning of seeking. You have to get to the bottom of that matter. You're seeking with all your heart, with all your mind. You're trying to find. That's the responsibility of a Christian. That's a great responsibility laid on our shoulders. If we are risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So what type of things we have to seek? The things we just read from Ephesians, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It shows the power of Christ. It shows the authority of Christ. It shows the prominence or preeminence of Christ. So where God and Jesus Christ, God the Father and Jesus Christ, had an absolute loving relationship, an environment of love. And we see here, you have to seek the things that are above. We have to seek the things that are above. And set your minds on the things that are above. Again, what is the meaning of seeking? We have to seek by setting our minds. Focus. How difficult it is to get the focus these days. When you get up in the morning, with what we get up with WhatsApp, we get up with Facebooks, okay, we get up with so many things. Our mind is set up not on the things that are above. Does that mean we should not work? Does that mean these earthly things are bad? No. Here in comparison with heavenly things and earthly things, let's see what are those things. What are the things that are above? What are the things that are below or earthly things? Set your minds to have understanding, directing our mind towards what are the things that are above. The kingdom of God. What are those things? What are those things that God wants us in our lives. And we see here where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It shows the place, authority of God in our lives. And verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So a Christian's life is, it's completely driven by Christ's life. It's completely driven by Christ's life. And we see here, comparing between the things that are above and the things that are earthly. Let's see verses 5 to 11. Okay. So we have seen a Christian's life is hidden in Christ. So they must seek the things that are above. And now we'll see, not only seeking the things that are above, they should put to death the things that are earthly. Okay. So verses 5 to 11. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So if you look at these verses 5 to 11, there are two things. Okay, there are two things we see here. One is sexual sins and another is behavioral sins. Okay. One is sexual sins, another is behavioral sins. Number one is immorality, impurity. This first Greek term originally meant harlot, but it came to be used for sexual immorality in general. We get the English term pornography from this word. The second term, impurity, was also a general term for sexual immorality, though it was originally used in the Old Testament in the sense of ceremonial uncleanness or moral uncleanness. Passion, evil desire. These two terms are also used together and translated as lustful passion. The first term, passion, is used in two different senses. One of suffering and another is of sexual desire. The second term, evil desire, is also used in two very different senses: a strong desire for something, either good or evil. The list of sexual sins may be related to the false teachings. False teachers were of two types: those who lived ascetic lives of self-abasement, and others who viewed the body as irrelevant to spiritual life and indulged in the sexual desires. Often, sexual and financial exploitation characterizes false teachers. Paul is really hitting two key sins, broad sins. One is sexual and another is behavioral. And the next group of sins we see on the behavioral sins. Okay. anger. This term means continuing, long-lasting, simmering anger. Wrath. This term means fast-burning anger or outburst of rage. Malice. This term means vicious thoughts. It implies a desire to hurt others. Slander and abusive speech. As Christians, our speech reflects who really are, who we are. Verses 3:9, do not lie. Christian speech must be true, honest, edifying, and spoken in love. So these are the two important aspects Paul is addressing. Sexual aspect and behavioral aspect. Even before getting into these things, what is the prerequisite? If you are risen with Christ. Without risen with Christ, we try to fight with these things. Without going through the process of death, without experience of risen with Christ, we try to fight with these things with our own strength. Okay. And the result is an utter failure. These are the two aspects Paul is talking about. Sexual sins and the behavioral sins. How can we address this? How can we address this? The prerequisite is we have to die. Is it possible to die? What is the meaning of death? Once again, we are coming back to that. We have to go through the process of death every day. We have to go through that process every day. We have to experience the life of resurrected life every day. Without that, if we apply so many techniques, so many books we can read, but we'll have failure. This is what I learned out of struggle. Let's go back to Romans 6 once again, as we read there. Romans 6, verse 5. Romans 6, verse 5. For if you have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Going through the process of death. Okay. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Going through that process of death. Verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So, you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, this is a very foundational teaching, right? We have to reckon yourself, consider yourself. We have to reckon yourself. Every day you have to reckon, I am dead to sin, I am dead to sin. Verse 12, let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. The life in Christ Jesus. We are brought from death to life. And again, we have to die every day. What is this? See, we have to understand, we have to get grips of this biblical teaching. It says here, in verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments of, for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So, coming back in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, put to death. You have to put to death. Therefore, what is earthly in you? These are the things, earthly things. These are the things, earthly things. See, we have a dual citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we are citizens of this country. We have the responsibility of human life. We have to live out here. But we have the citizenship of heavenly citizenship. We are representing that Christ who is seated at the right hand of God, that atmosphere here. And we see here, putting to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. These are the things, these are the earthly things. These are the things we fight every day, each and every day. So now, I want to close this. How to put to death these earthly things? How can I put sin to death? Practically, what is the meaning of these things? How can I put? What is the practical help from God? Remember, when we accepted the Lord, we are alive in Christ. At the same time, we are being put to death. Our bodies, meaning is dead. Death means died to sin, died to law. I have been crucified with Christ. It's a process. It's a continuous process. The Christian life is both a state and a process of development. It's a state. We are dead. But it's again a process of development. We are being dead. So I want to give four important practical ways how we can put sin to death. How can we do that? Number one is hiding the word of God. You have to hide the word of God. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I'll read these verses from 9 to 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Number one. Practical example, we have to hide the word of God in our hearts. We have to hide the word of God. How can we do this? How do you hide the word of God in your heart? And it says here, how can a young man keep his way pure?
How can we hide the word of God? Number one, you should have a journal with you always. You should have 3x5 cards. You have to write the verses. You have to write those verses. When I'm facing a particular challenge, sin, I need to have the verses to fight against that sin. Do you have that habit? Do you have that habit? Sin cannot be won by attending seminars. They will help definitely. Hiding the word of God in our hearts. Always keep a journal, a notebook next to you. Write those verses. Whenever thoughts comes to you, you have to refer that, those verses. See, overcoming the sin is not by becoming a sage, going and meditating in Himalayas. That's not the way we overcome sin. That's not the biblical teaching. The meditation of the Word of God is very important. Hiding the Word of God in our hearts. We should become like a walking Bible. We must be completely filled with the Word of God. Let the Word of God richly dwell in our hearts. Without that, we cannot win. We cannot win the battle over sin. How is it possible? That's the process of death. Taking the word of God, applying it into our hearts. Denying ourselves. So many techniques, all those techniques, they were not working, but the word of God. Only the word of God, it brings the regeneration in our hearts. Number one is, hide the word of God. Number two, do not give room for sin. Do not. This is all our effort. As Christians, we have to put efforts. Winning the war is through our efforts. It is not against grace by salvation. It is, I can do all things through Christ. I don't have any conflict in this. If I give my best to the Lord, I don't think, oh, I'm overboarding grace. No. I stopped all those things by God's grace. I don't have that conflict. I want to thank the Lord. If I am being disciplined, keeping the word of God, I don't have iota of confusion. Oh, am I overboarding grace? No, not at all. Please look at my expressions. I'm completely out of that dilemma. I want to give my best to hide the word of God in. I want to study. See, coming from a non-Christian background, we have this tendency of what is the meaning of God, all these things. Maybe you also might have had as Christians, but this is my experience. For me, God is like a genie. Sometime back, okay? Suppose if I praise something, God will come. He will give me empowerment. He will make everything. He'll make me a Superman. But when I read the scripture, it is a tedious process. It is completely a, it's like, as we see in Romans 8, let me read that verse, very interesting, just reminded. Okay, I'll read Romans 8. The verse says, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's the Christian's life. We are just next to sin. And the number one, as I mentioned, how to put sin to death, hide the word of God. Second is, do not give room to sin. Romans 13, 14. We read this verse. Romans 13, chapter 13, verse 14. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It is completely our responsibility. Taking the word of God, giving no room to sin. And the third one is having clear conscience. Having clear conscience. I can exchange this verse. I can't even exchange this for $1 million. This point. Having a clear conscience in our lives. As Christians, especially as young people, when we are going through the course of life, when we are faced with challenges, when we are down, raising back again, having that clear conscience is the secret of overcoming sin. We all know this verse, 1 John 1:9. What does it say? Let's go there. Let's look at it in a new way. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many believers, how many Christians, they live a life of guilty conscience? Guilty conscience. How, Lord, I have committed this sin. How can I come back? What is the way out? That does not give us a license to sin, but it puts us on a highly responsible position. How can I come out? And we see here, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. That's why the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to come under the blood of Jesus Christ. So many people use the blood of Jesus Christ as a religious ritual term. But the blood of Jesus Christ, He cleanses us. In Hebrews it is written, He cleanses our conscience. He prepares us for the ministry. So make a deal with God. Every day before going to sleep, ask God, Lord, what is it that in my life that is against You? Wash me from that. Give me a clear conscience. Without having clear conscience, there is no ministry. There is no victory over sin. Having a clear conscience before God. So number one is, I wanted to say four things, right? How to put sin to death. Hide the word of God. No room for sin. No room. God made us responsible people. We are in His image, right? We are in His image. We have to take up the responsibility. Hide the word, no room for sin, clear conscience, and the last one, accountability. James 5:16. Let's go there and see that. James 5:16. Though this is in the context of suffering, sickness, but the idea, the teaching here is, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Keeping ourselves accountable. This is the most difficult thing. Finding out right persons whom we can go and share our struggles. It's very biblical to have accountability partners. Preferably, who are elders, who are matured. Going and sharing with them, talking to them, opening our hearts. And finding out the right people with whom you can share. It will save so many heartaches. As a result of this evening's message, if you can really work on these things, how can I hide the word of God in my heart? Maybe you should have some verses in your bedroom, in your bathroom. Take the best verses. Sometime back, I printed Romans chapter 6 completely. Everywhere it is there, in my bathroom, on the desk. Yeah, we have to come up with these things. What do you think about overcoming sin? Will it just come like that? Only grace is free. Nothing is free. Please understand. The grace of God for salvation is free. He made you more responsible. If you are a child of God, if you are a prince, how much more responsible you are? Think about how I can hide this word. Maybe you should come up with some ideas. Keep in your purse some of the verses, key verses. Next thing is, as we have seen, no room for sin. Be careful. No room for sin. In your house, if there are any books that are mentioned as here, which have sexual immorality, which have passion, evil desires, remove them. Today, let it be the end of those things. Let it be the end of those things. Can you please do this, parents? Can you please? In my 7th grade, if I had come out of this, my life would have been great. Brothers and sisters, younger ones, if you have anything, today is the last day. Remove them. Burn them, throw them in the trash. No room for sin. Can we take the decision? No room, Lord, from today onwards, no room for sin. Clear conscience. Having that clear conscience. Lord, if there is anything, wash me thoroughly. Make me white as snow. And the 4th one is accountable. Lord, direct me. Lead me to the people with whom I can share. Lead me to the people with whom I can share. I can take this I can tell this, we have the best people in our assembly. I can even quote their names. Will you allow me to quote names? It will save so much of your life. Why should you struggle? As Christian, why should you struggle as you are coming to church? Hey, we are all here. The best of the best people. You need not tell to everyone. Reach out to people. Ask, call them. I'm going through this. Can we meet for lunch? I want to share my heart. Don't delay. Don't postpone it. Become an accountable to people. So ask God, Lord, whom can I share with? Who can protect my privacy?
who can really bear my burden. Our elders are there. They can really protect our privacy. They can counsel. They will not even tell to next, even to your parents also they will not tell. See, we can save so much. We can be really vital in the kingdom of God if we really overcome sin. If we have that pattern, developing our mindset, renewing our minds. So I would encourage, as a result of this, what is that you can take home? What are the action items? Action items. I want to encourage you. At least one action items from these 4 points. Hiding the word of God. No room for sin. Clear conscience. Accountability. Can you take at least one decision? I don't want to leave this without this. Can you please promise me? I want to take one decision among these four. What is hiding the word of God? I'll come up with a 3x5 card. I'll write the verses. I'll keep next to my desk, next to my bed. Can you tell at least one verse? I want to write this verse. And the next one is no room for sin. If I'm tempted with my laptop, I'll work before other people. No room for sin. No room. No reading of bad books. No reading of even the things that are making going away from the Lord. Clear conscience. Lord, I want to have that conscience, Lord. I want to have the pure conscience. I want to serve you. And I want to be accountable. At least one decision were you able to take. Please, one decision among these four. Think about how much time we can save, how many resources we can save, how much age, number of years in our life we can save. So with that, our life, it is hidden in Christ. A Christian's life is hidden in Christ. So we must seek the things that are above and put to death the things that are earthly. Right? Our life, it is hidden in Christ. And as we sing, there is a hymn, it says, He hideth my soul. He hideth my soul. I would request, please stand up and let us sing this song. He hideth my soul in the cleft. He hideth my soul. He is our God. He was looking forward to get into that relationship. He hideth my soul. Can we please stand and sing this number, please? 335. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word. Lord, help us to apply this in our lives day to day. Bless us, Lord, as a chapel. We pray for the families. We pray for young men and women. Lord, help us to grow in you, Lord. Thank you. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brothers, don't forget to sign up for these activities that are on.